Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, and welcome to Concussion Talk Podcast. I'm Nick Mercer. Please visit my website at concussiontalk.com, where you will find my ebook, old blog posts, and links to all of my podcasts on YouTube channel and anywhere else you hear about your podcasts, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts and others. And before I start talking to my guest today, which is DPT Gina Tosto Mancuso, I would like to thank my sponsor, Headcheck Health. Concussion Talk Podcast is presented by Headcheck Health. Headcheck Health bridges the gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Trek Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, who rely on Headcheck Health to improve communication and optimize care. Visit headcheckhealth.com for more. I'm talking to Gina Tosto Mancuso, who is a physio at, well, I'll let her describe better. I know I'm going to say at Mount Sinai in New York City, but I'll let her explain better. And so welcome, Gina. Thank you so much for doing this podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Yes, my name is Gina Tosto Mancuso. I am a physical therapist at the Abilities Research Center at Mount Sinai Hospital here in New York City. And I have a pretty cool job in that I get to both work in research as well as clinical practice, primarily in the space of neuro rehab. So I get to really work on how we can integrate new technology and new advances in clinical practice to help more and more people after a neurological injury.
That's great. That's actually why I wanted to talk to you, because neural rehab technology, and I'm looking at your Instagram and I'm looking at your neurophysical therapist, advanced neural rehab technology. And also, I get one of you also in the long COVID realm now too, but I'll mention that, talk about that, I'll ask you a question about that later. But I wanted to ask you what is your primary research in the neuro area?
Sure. So my primary area of research is in neurotechnology. So our center specializes in both development and adoption of new neurotechnology for rehab practice. So that includes working with industry partners on new devices that might be appropriate or helpful in the neuro rehab space. It also includes development of new rehab protocols and paradigms to help advance the field of neuro rehab. So that's my primary area. Also really focused in motor recovery and movement recovery.
That's awesome, because I'm looking at some of your pictures now and there's a lot of like exoskeleton and advanced, you know, wheelchair kind of like advanced or adaptive technology. So can you explain what do you explain? I know some probably in trials you can't really talk about, but what is it that you're using now that you find that's pretty helpful technology wise? Do you find the best?
Absolutely. I feel like we could have a conversation about this all day. It's kind of a growing area, which I'm really passionate and excited about. And so what we've learned in the past, let's say 10 to 15 years in research, has really been the cornerstone of neuro rehab is vested in our ability to create rehabilitation programs that are high intensity, high repetition, driven to address tasks that our patients and anyone going through neuro rehab wants to get better at. So the technology that we're finding to have really amazing results is technology that allows us to really focus on those facets while still helping patients and physical therapists or clinicians, be it PT, OT, you name it, get at those primary principles. And so like you had mentioned, our center, I work quite frequently with exoskeletons and robotics, and it's a really cool area of rehab emerging more and more. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, that would have sounded like something totally crazy that we're going to use robotics and totally natural, but it's amazing to be able to do. And so I work a lot with exoskeletons and robotics. I work a lot with virtual reality and augmented reality, really trying to think about how can we as therapists use technology to advance our practice, right? It's no longer just doing 5 repetitions of a movement in therapy, but rather let's like get at it and really, really drive change, because that's what changes the brain.
Yeah. No, I mean, just like the technologies are just so, seem almost not to say ubiquitous, but kind of at least are well known across there. Because I was talking to last month Scott Anderson of TGH, which is also iSync, and he has a lot of work with concussion and virtual reality and virtual augmented reality as well. So can you explain a bit about how does that work with your rehab and say concussion or head injury at all?
Sure. So one of our program focuses at our center more recently has been the development of a program for concussion. And so what we've tried to do is think about the technology that we are both have access to currently, but are also developing, and how can we apply that to concussion? And concussion is a really interesting area of practice, because we've made really rapid changes in the way that we address concussion rehab. Not very long ago, it was a matter of stay in a dark room and don't do anything until you feel better. And now we're realizing that a graded return to activity and a graded approach can be really, really helpful. And so virtual reality in the concussion space is a great way to start rehabilitation, in that it allows us to, number one, create immersive environments for patients to experience real life things.
So you start off in like an empty room and then just it's all in the mind, really?
Say that one more time.
Start off in like in a big gym, like empty room area, or?
So yeah, that's
it. Where you situate your clients and your patients by?
Yeah, for concussion. So our space actually we just created, which is featured on my Instagram. Created a virtual reality room for our concussion rehab. I work with an incredible team. In addition to my team at Mount Sinai, the program is called Studio Elsewhere, and they specialize in creating biophilic spaces for healthcare environments. Biophilic. So it's the idea that we use. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. We use virtual reality and immersive experiential rooms. So everything from the lighting to we have a wall feature that is a virtual reality experience.
Yeah, I saw your Instagram. They had the Aurora Borealis on your wall there.
That's exactly it. And so that wall that you see is interactive. Patients can interact with it via motion capture, so they can move with the environment. And we really utilize those spaces, again, for a progressive return to activity, a progressive return. And concussion is unique in the fact that The symptoms that someone can experience after a concussion are really, really variable. I think some of the recent literature documents like 9 to 10 different phenotypes of concussion, and that's not even the half of it as far as I'm concerned. So really creating these virtual reality experiences allow us to tailor our interventions for what a patient is experiencing while still creating environments that are supportive of recovery. They're not, you know, bright white hospital lights for someone who's light sensitive. They're not loud, noisy, distracting environments for someone who's heavily fatigued or someone who's having attention changes. So that's really the backbone of a lot of what we do.
Nice. So do you use your exoskeleton in coordinate like with along with your facility at the same time, or do you use them separately?
So currently we use them, can use them together. Currently we're using them separately just based on patient needs, but you can absolutely use them together.
You say you were the concentrated motor, like the thing motor function as well. So is exoskeleton primarily for motor recovery, or is it, or do you use it as in, is in more of a repetition, like, do you know about modus nova?
So, yeah, that's a
free repetition and stuff like that with the robotics. Is that?
Yeah, that's it, exactly. So exoskeletons are pretty amazing in that you can, as a therapist, they become a tool for you. So it's not that they are a one size fits all. So I like to use exoskeletons for a variety of reasons, right? For patients who are working on motor recovery purely. So maybe they have a weaker side of their body after a stroke, or maybe they've had a spinal cord injury.
I have a severe brain injury and I have a weaker left side. So how would you use, say, so we'll use me as an example. How would you use that skeleton for me whose left side is generally weaker and uncoordinated, really?
Great question. So left-sided weakness is a perfect example of how we use exoskeletons. So when we look at weakness after a brain injury, we have a bit more of a focal concentration of why the weakness is happening. And so what the exoskeleton allows us to do, and let's take, for instance, I work quite frequently with the exoskeleton, which is a lower extremity exoskeleton. It's designed for walking, but there are a ton of other ones out there. And there are ones for both upper extremity and lower. I also work with something called the Armeo Spring or the Armeo Power, which is for upper extremity. So depending on our interest area, what I like the exoskeleton for, let's talk the walking one. After a brain injury, if you have left-sided weakness, the strength and coordination for walking on that side is like changing the way that you walk in general, how far you can walk, how safely you can walk. The exoskeleton is powered by motors, and we as therapists are able to program the exoskeleton for a particular walking pattern. So now that we have our patients in this exoskeleton, they're motor supported, so we know that they're safe. It will give them the support that they need to move their leg should they need it, but it also allows them to start to move on their own. Now, this is the perfect recipe for that high intensity, high repetition walking practice. And really what that does is it's called neuroplasticity. So it primes the brain to make changes after an injury. And really that's the bread and butter of motor recovery. So that's just an example of one of the exoskeletons. Like I said, there are other ones that we use with gamified rehab. So meaning the patient is able to interact with a game that allows them to really get a ton of repetition, ton of movement of their limb or ton of task practice while still doing something kind of fun and playing a game. And that's a whole other area of rehab.
Cool. So I mean, like for me, I was brain injured in 03. So I know that's 18 years ago now. So is that how late is Fred neuroplasticity really? I know obviously earlier is better, but I mean not too early because if your brain's injured here, you gotta let it rest for it. But how much difficult is it for say someone who's a year out compared to someone who's 10 years out?
Is it much? That's a great question. So the literature is really emerging in this area, and this is actually an area I'm pretty passionate about. I think early on, we always acknowledge the idea that there is spontaneous recovery, meaning within the first 6 months to a year, the brain will just spontaneously start to recover. But that being said, I and our group is really firm believers that we can continue to see changes and see progress through chronic change, through chronic individual injury. So meaning if you're five, I have patients who are 5 years out, I have patients who are 20 years out, and we're still working on recovery. I'm a really firm believer that rehab is after an injury, it's a lifelong process, but it's a process nevertheless that we can still see meaningful changes. Yeah. And we're able to facilitate those changes even more so because of technology. So absolutely, across the continuum, can definitely look to see changes. Every patient story is different. So I never speak in definitives on what you will see and how you will see it, yeah. But I'm afraid do it absolutely.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've noticed a lot of changes, a lot of improvements for my everything, walking, speech, those struggles. Well, it's like still like, I mean, like now this 18 years out, but I'm doing a lot of physical activity, yoga, and Pilates, swimming, and walking, and you're still the exoskeleton. Walking, I got back to walking fairly within a few years, but within a year and a half, really. I still don't have the balance to say ride a bike or jump or run. So does the exoskeleton help with that sort of activity, or is it more that more of a what your brain heals?
That's an interesting area to work with, right? And when we think about changes to walking or more dynamic balance things yeah. like jumping or running or riding a bike. Yeah. Multiple components of movement that go into that. So in addition to your strength, it's coordination, it's balance, it's timing, it's planning and sequencing. So we take something that, you know, sounds kind of simple and it's actually rather complicated. Yeah. But absolutely things like gamified rehab, balance training, exoskeleton use, so really working on more of those dynamic tasks, are definitely shown to be beneficial. The literature is coming out more and more and more looking at things like use of exoskeletons and robotics for more chronic training in those areas. And clinically and anecdotally speaking, we definitely can see those changes. In my practice, I use robotics and exoskeletons and gamified rehab, not just for someone who is weak, but perhaps for someone whose type of brain injury or stroke has resulted in just pure coordination changes, or whose pure balance changes. You can definitely use those. And again, it becomes a tool in the toolbox of your therapist to really get creative in their use.
Yeah, they sound expensive and they're probably fairly pricey now, but they're getting, is there more comes in line, they're getting more affordable?
So they are a tad expensive. And the key thing with exoskeletons right now is many of them are designed for in-clinic use, meaning that a patient doesn't need to buy them to use at their home. Yeah, so it's definitely something to consider. More affordable things are definitely coming out regularly. And this is kind of the cool thing with technology's advancement. In our clinic, we often will use things like the Google Cardboard, which is for virtual reality training. And I use that a lot for patients who are having pain or who are having or practicing motor imagery. So using their mindfulness and using imagery to help with motor changes. Definitely thinking about other gamified rehabilitation. So gamified rehab, meaning we can either take gaming systems that are designed for rehabilitation, or on the contrary, taking gaming systems that people are gaming with just for fun and using them for therapy purposes. And that's another program we have at our center, which I think is actually one of our more fun ones. It's kind of cool.
That it is, yeah.
Yeah, so
the younger do you deal with younger patients, or do you deal mostly with people who've been in therapy for a while?
Yeah, I'm actually really fortunate that I get to work with patients across the age span. So I work with pediatrics, working with kids with neurological injuries, all the way through geriatrics, working with older adults who have had neurological injuries. And so I will say that gamified rehab and adaptive gaming, meaning taking gaming systems that are, again, normally designed for regular play, but using adaptive controllers and buttons so that we can use them in a therapy context, has been found to be pretty enjoyable across the lifespan. I have a lot of my patients who are older adults who really find it fun, and it's a great way just to get at that task practice and repetition for sure.
Actually, I've been looking at your, so Jared, do you want to just talk about your Instagram, because I'm really starting at that not the whole time, so I'm listening to you, but your stuff. So talk about your Instagram and your other social media. Where's the best place to look at your stuff?
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Social media has become kind of a cool thing because we get to connect with people around the world. And that's one of my favorite parts of my job, admittedly.
Yeah.
I love that connectedness. I think it's really fun to be able to share our experiences, especially in neuro rehab. It's a shared community. We can all learn from each other. I learn from my patients every day. So it's a cool opportunity to connect. But as far as social media goes, yes, I am on Instagram. I am at DPTJennaNYC. Also, our center has a really great Instagram, Abilities Research Center. You can find us on Instagram as well, and we're constantly sharing some cool stuff. So by all means, check us out. We are also on Twitter, and we have our website. So I always welcome people to check out what we're doing. We love sharing.
Nice. Yeah, and cool stuff. I'm looking at your... this exoskeleton you have sitting in a chair, and you posted this on, let's see now, where is it? February 4th.
And, yeah.
That's just Iron Man, is that what it's just called?
I think I know which one you're talking about. I'm going to double check at my own social media to make sure we're talking the same picture, but I believe we're talking about our... Yep. So that is our, on February the 4th, that is our exoskeleton, the exoskeleton designed by Exobionics. And the image above that is our motion capture based virtual reality system. It's a new program that is new to our center. It's actually really quite exciting. It's called the Mind Pod. And the idea behind it is it takes patients through a full virtual reality experience. So that's actually the full room. It has lights that coordinate with it. And the patients interact with the activity by movement. So there are camera sensors that will pick up arm movement so that the patient that is, he's controlling all of, like, he is controlling that fish in the video. So he is now. Yeah, so it's a great way of working on, we consider it to be non-task specific, meaning that it's movement-based, it's cognitive-based, and it really just allows patients to start to explore their movement. And it's a great opportunity, again, to do something kind of fun. I like to get creative. I think it's a great opportunity as therapists to make therapy fun and make it inviting and make it engaging, because we're able to do more in that sense than if I were just doing really short, sweet, and to the point movements.
I want to ask you the vision thing, as I mentioned to you, just the other day, that the Iron Man suit, there's a video here of you helping someone, or I think it's you helping someone in wearing that Iron Man suit walk. Would that be a brain injury patient, or is that someone who's been struggling with spinal cord injury?
So we work with both patient types. Okay. I believe the video we're referencing is a patient after a stroke. So we work with patients after stroke, after brain injury, with neurodegenerative diseases, things like multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, et cetera, as well as patients after any type of other movement disorder. So again, all of those devices, things like exoskeletons and VR and you name it, it's a great tool in a toolbox. So when we look and we work with our patients and we create goals, right, we collaborate with the patients to see what they want to get to. We've got all these really awesome tools to play with and to really strategize how we can use them in their therapies to meet their goals.
Has there been like one example, and I actually can't get specific, but of someone whose goals were difficult, or, I mean, obviously the issue points where it's like, I want to run in and I want to, and you can say, okay, working yourself to do this, not that it's straightforward for anybody, but there's more, goals are actually more common. Versus there any goals that are just been like, just fun to figure out how you can get the exoskeleton or virtuality, or what you can use to really, really get them to where they want to be, but their goals may be a bit different than, or just examples of that. Yeah.
Goal setting is, and I'm sure for anyone who's ever been to physical therapy or any type of therapy for any reason, we as therapists love goals. We love the word goals. We're all about making them and setting them and achieving them. So I think what's an important thing when someone is sitting down with their therapist to make their goals is to think about, and we use the term SMART goals. So thinking about goals that are specific, that they are measurable, that they are achievable, that they can be repeated, and that they are time-based. So thinking about SMART goals, meaning, can I actually get to this goal? How quick can I get to this goal? What do I need to do to get to this goal? So when I work with my patients, I really like to make sure that we're collaborating on this. It's a dialogue.
Those short-term goals that you'd say, okay, you hit that goal and now you can go to this goal?
Exactly. We set both long-term goals and short-term goals. So short-term saying, okay, let's see, we have 4 weeks here. What can we do in 4 weeks? Okay, well, what is the long-term goal then? What can we do in 6 months? What do you want to be able to do in a year? Yeah. And we start to slowly put those short-term goals together to get to you to the long-term goal. And so what device or what piece of technology we use to get for each goal might be different, and it might be a combination of using technology while still doing some more traditional things, right? Technology enhances practice, it doesn't eliminate it. And I think that's a big thing that we want to recognize as therapists, but also patients, that your robot is not going to replace your therapist. Yeah. It's a tool that we use to make your life even better. I hope not either. We're hoping. Yeah, exactly. The idea that we're hoping this is something that will advance your practice, both as a clinician, but more importantly for patients, that it enhances your rehab experience, that we take what we know about neuroscience and the brain and the brain's ability to change, And we facilitate those changes externally through technology. And that's not to discount that you still might be working on more traditional balance training, more traditional strength training, more traditional walking training. But thinking about those goals and how we establish those goals, we like to throw in the medium or the means for which we're going to get there. So if the goal is walking, right, and we set that you're going to walk a certain distance with a certain amount of assistance in a certain amount of time, maybe the main piece of equipment or maybe the main means we train that is through walking an exoskeleton, walking in a harness system for body weight support, walking with electrical stimulation to help facilitate muscles that might be not doing their normal routine.
Right.
So it's definitely a collaborative experience, but an experience nevertheless.
Yeah, definitely. And this question is a bit, not with the, it's a bit off the ball, but the have you ever read Lisa Genova in her books?
I can't say I'm familiar, but I'd love to learn more.
She's an author, but she's also a PhD in neuroscience in, I want to say Berkeley, but anyway, California, probably somewhere. She's written books, Stella Alice, that was the one that, maybe it's a movie that Julianne Moore won an Oscar for. But she wrote a book, about like stroke and Parkinson's and, early onset Alzheimer's, and I was just wondering about that, because there's one book called Every Note Played. It's about a pianist who had a stroke or no ALS, I believe, and he lost the ability to play piano. So she would have people who really didn't lose totally his ability, but it's a book copy. And she's an excellent writer. She had a better story than I'm telling you about that. Do you ever have people that want to say learn piano or want to get their hands back or they're like not just walking or running or pushing weights or whatever, but something more dexterous, more fine tuned?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I think the two, and this I think is different patient by patient, but I would say the top two things that my patients look to get better with are walking or standing and mobility, and then use of their hands and their arms. And I think I like to think of it twofold. Those are the two big things that we all use and need to get through our day-to-day life, yeah. Right? Being able to be mobile, but also being able to use arms, hands, shoulders for self-advocacy. And there are really, this is a really amazing area of emerging research, but also of emerging technology. And so we do work with exoskeletons, robotics, body weight support systems that allow our patients to start to practice movement of their arms and their hands, to start to target more focused goals. So some of the more baseline goals might be to be able to get dressed and to use your arms to put your shirt over your head, or something a bit more advanced, like having fine motor control and dexterity for, activity of daily living might be eating. More advanced tasks might be motor control for playing a piano or for painting. And those goals absolutely are things we see and some of my more favorite things to address. Yeah.
I suppose there's a more greedy aspect, which I wrote you about earlier, but I'm looking at it right now, on your computer screen here, of the eyes and so nystagmus. And first, I ask, can you just explain what nystagmus is to pretty good book? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So nystagmus is an ocular change that we can see after either a central, meaning a brain base change, or a vestibular peripheral, meaning your peripheral vestibular organ. And so a nystagmus presents generally as either spontaneous or evoked, meaning that it can happen spontaneously by just resting, or evoked, meaning it can be triggered with head movement of your body, et cetera. And so what that generally, just kind of visualizing what a nystagmus is, it's usually a beating of the eye, either side to side, up and down, torsionally, or a combination of one of those three.
Right. I'm going to do it now. I think it's been 18 years, but I'm finally going through And this is just after three eye surgeries, three neuro ophthalmologic surgeons, not surgeons, surgeries on my eyes, just trying to fix my double vision. But now I'm doing vision therapy, and I've been told before this, it's not very apparent that I have nystagmus in my left eye, and I can see it when I cover either eye, it's fine, but when I show both eyes, and I'm concentrating on my left eye, I can see the image kind of move, and that's just the beating of it, like being the eye just trying to figure out what the hexagon is. Is that more balanced? Is that more stereolated, or is that more ocular?
So it's a little difficult to say by just looking at it, right? There are a lot of tests that go into diagnosing the nystagmus and the cause of the nystagmus. And so what you just described sounds very similar to what's called like a skew deviation, where you would kind of cover one side and the eye moves and uncover it and it moves again. And eye changes and ocular changes are very, very common after brain injury. I will admit neuro-ophthalmology is not my area of practice or expertise, but it's a really, really common area. To look into. And nystagmus can happen for a multitude of reasons. We have a ton of really, really great tests for nystagmus, but also for ocular changes after brain injury. And vision therapy can be really, really helpful for patients who are experiencing those changes.
And so I saw a video of someone in BC, British Columbia, Canada, talking about the crystals in your ears and stuff. And so she's more a vestibular therapist, but she's talking about how like that can cause nystagmus or just like so do you know much about that?
Yeah, that's exactly. So when, like we had said earlier, right, nystagmus can be related to a central change, meaning of your brain. So after a brain injury, you can have a central lesion or injury that causes the nystagmus, mostly in the vestibular processing centers, or you can have that peripheral vestibular change. And so the peripheral vestibular system lives in the inner ear. It is a combination of three canals as well as two other primary components. And so what you just described with the crystals is often called BPPV, benign paroxysmal positional vertigo.
Right.
Really long name.
Which I believe I have because I remember seeing Lauren Zayek's talking about that. She's a guest on my show. I don't know if she is, but anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. So BPPV can happen after a head injury as well, especially a traumatic brain injury, because of the blunt action of the head injury itself. And so what that BPPV is essentially, like you said, in those three canals, you have crystal carbonate, little crystals essentially that have a primary location where they should be maintained. And should they be knocked off of that, out of that place, yeah, it can create that dizziness, right? It's a mismatch in the information that's being provided by those canals, because your vestibular system is responsible for linear acceleration as well as angular acceleration. So anytime your body or your head is moving, that vestibular system, primarily based in those additional components as well as the canals, tell our body and our brain where we are in space. And so if they get knocked out of place, physically, patients feel dizzy or motion sensitive, and visually, we see a nystagmus.
Right. Okay. I know. I'm a complex patient, a complex situation. I got in my head, my eyes, and my brain is injured. But yeah, it makes sense. And this, vision therapy, I've been doing it now for 4 weeks. This is my fourth week, and it's been going really well. It's been, honestly, fun, but I actually like it. Very challenging, which is something I like doing. And so hopefully this will help improve my, goal vision compared to that. But nystagmus, does that improve with, if that improves with just with your general, if that's studied near your, never mind, I answer my own question in my head. I tell you, because your vision is steadier, then of your balance will improve. But I guess now I'll ask you about your long COVID area. You're in that department, or what is long COVID physio? What is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely talk on that. So in my non-COVID days, I am a neuro PT, but the very long story short of it. So New York City here in March of 2020, we very quickly became the epicenter of the epicenter for COVID-19, the acute beginning of the pandemic. And so our group had previously created a remote patient monitoring program, which essentially is an app we developed to help monitor patients at home, to track recovery of, and our original iteration was in neurological injuries, primarily stroke, to track their recovery through things like their blood pressure to make sure it was maintained and safe, their heart rate, their motor recovery. So we use this app-based system to monitor patients at home and watch how they're recovering. And so when COVID hit New York City, our program really, really quickly developed, and by really, really quickly, I mean in like a 24-hour period, created an app for COVID. And so through that app, we, throughout the pandemic, the peak surge of the pandemic, so here in New York City, that was March through give or take May of last year, we monitored over 1,000 patients in New York City, watching their recovery and trying to understand how their symptoms were progressing, making sure they had medical support if their symptoms worsened, and really just created the safety net for patients. And so what we learned in this process was about 10 to 20% of those patients, they weren't getting better and they were reporting new symptoms. And that's really how we began to identify what is now known as long COVID. And so in response to that, our team, I've been heading the physical therapy end of things. We work very closely with the rehab department. We've created a rehabilitation program for patients with long COVID. And so that program is now being nationally and internationally shared. We're helping to care for hundreds of patients and working with over hundreds of therapists to really try and get the word out there about how we might be able to help people with long COVID.
And actually in March, I had a podcast with Michael Kaplan and the president of the French Association of America, and she was saying that the his law firm, whose name now I lost in my head, but so it's just in that there's a, they don't know how the COVID affects the brain. There was some evidence that maybe it does affect the brain. So I don't know, did you learn anything from your experience in long COVID that you can share? Obviously, probably some stuff you would, it's a bit tender now, I can't really share, but you do know what this finish up did as a.
Sure. Yeah. So it's a really frustrating thing, but still enlightening with long COVID, in that this is a brand new diagnosis. We as a medical community have only been seeing it now. I mean, the acute COVID infection, just over a year. Yeah. Long COVID, probably about a year. And so in medical terms, that's really quite a brief bit of time. And so unfortunately, there is not enough evidence right now to firmly say if COVID is getting, you know, if there is a neurological implication or a pure pathophysiology implication for COVID in the brain. We do see manifestation of symptoms, things like brain fog, cognitive changes, et cetera, in both acute COVID and long COVID. So I think the area of research is really going to begin to take off. And until we have a little bit more data, I'm always hesitant to speak on it, but it's definitely a symptom we're acknowledging.
Good. Well, yeah, but this has been a great conversation about just with technology and brain related, just not necessarily brain rehab, yes, but also just about how technology can be used to help improve neuroplasticity or just help encourage neuroplasticity of the brain of anybody, any of stroke or concussion or other severe brain injury. So Jen, do you want to just talk about where they can find you again, or I know Mount Sinai, online and if they're in New York City. Hopefully you get some listeners there.
Yeah, absolutely. I always love connecting. So my Instagram is usually the easiest way to get to me at @dptjennanyc. And yes, if anyone is ever in the area and or just wants to reach out and have a conversation, I love to do that.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Jenna. It's been a very enlightening discussion. So thanks again.
Thanks so much for having me. Bye.
Music at the beginning of this podcast is by Ben Sound. www.benzam.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.